My daughter, who's 9, reminded me that in a couple of weeks' time, I'm turning 47, which of course is very young. And I won't say that I remember every Christmas for the last 46 years, but what I do know is that amidst the tinsel and the lights and the presents and all the fun and glittery things of Christmas, that every one of those Christmases were Christmases where we sang carols like the ones we've heard tonight and celebrated the birth of Jesus. Now, I'm a first-generation Australian. My parents were, my mum was Maltese, my dad's Italian, and so both from cultures that value family very highly. And so my family weren't perfect, no family is, but I was loved and I was safe, and everything I needed was provided for. But when I turned 16, 3 things happened. I joined a youth group at my church. I met a godly pastor who became a lifelong mentor and friend. And I decided not only to follow Jesus, but that making Jesus the center of my life and becoming part of the family that he was forming was better and more desirable than being part of my own human family, as good as they are. And so now when I celebrate Christmas each year, it's a reaffirmation and renewed commitment to be part of the family and the movement that Jesus is coming into the world inaugurated. So what's all that got to do with why we're here tonight? Well, the readings, the hymns and the beautiful choir pieces chosen for us tonight not only speak of the Christmas story, which is no doubt familiar to us, but also to the reason that God chose in a moment in time to tangibly break into human history. Did you notice where tonight's lessons began? Don't worry, I won't give you a blow-by-blow of the whole thing. You've heard it already. But where they began tonight, in the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of creation, when the first humans tried to deceive God and avoid taking responsibility for their actions. Perhaps that has a familiar resonance about it. There's a problem that God chooses to address. The Bible calls this problem sin. A better word for us in our day might be rebellion or excuse making. That's 2 words. But sin isn't just about what we do in our unguarded or unseen moments. It's what we participate in. It's what systems we support. It's turning a blind eye to injustice or exploitation because it's too hard, too political, or too unpopular. It's putting our interests, noble though they may be, ahead of others. And we heard in Matthew's Gospel earlier on this verse quoted from Isaiah: "She," meaning Mary, "will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And I know that in my own life, at some point, Jesus communicated to me in the way he's done with billions of other people on this planet, that emptiness you feel, that unworthiness you feel, that helplessness to impact change that you feel sometimes, I can take that and I can give you true and lasting freedom that is impossible to achieve on your own. What does that look like? Well, it brings us to the next theme of tonight, which is peace. How much did we hear the word peace in the theme peace in the readings and in the songs we've sung tonight? Isaiah spoke about it centuries before Jesus was born, and he said, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." And then when Jesus is born, we see the whole host of heaven break out into a choir. Maybe you like what we heard tonight. But possibly even more angels. And they sing glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Many of us, I'm sure, have been praying for a ceasefire in the Middle East. That's the closest thing to peace we can achieve in our own strength, is a ceasefire. But the Hebrew understanding of peace, shalom, was more than the absence of something, but rather the presence of something better. Hence, peace is linked to salvation. This idea that we are not simply saved from something, which we definitely are, but also into something. And that something is a relationship that is life-giving and empowering and ongoing. A relationship where we are loved and known and secure, a relationship from whose arms we can never, ever be snatched. Furthermore, God in Jesus, as he gives us this peace, has formed a new family that we just heard in the reading that Kim just read to us. It's not a family based on race or bloodline, but about people of every race, nation, and tribe who have hearts disposed to follow Jesus. Some of us don't know that peace in our own families, but there is true and lasting peace in Jesus' family. It's a peace that enables us, that equips us, that empowers us from a place of belonging to face the challenges of this world head on, to know that we have an advocate and a guide who helps us and shows us the way. Nowadays, we have influencers on social media. And I find this quite a fascinating phenomena. And some of them are quite profound, have quite amazing things to say. But for a lot of them, the wisdom ends with themselves. They're still trying to find an answer to the questions, or trying to be the person who can give an answer to the questions, but the reservoir to reach from is limited. And yet Jesus comes to us. We're reminded at Christmas, and we look forward to his return, that he has the answers. And that brings me to our final theme we hear in Matthew 1. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That third theme that comes really strongly tonight is a theme of presence, with a C-E on the end, not a T-S, presence. The child to be born to is to be called or known as Emmanuel, a name that means God with us. And do you know that Matthew's gospel opens with the promise of God with us and ends with the Great Commission, where Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I think Matthew and the Holy Spirit really want us to understand that that's the message. He didn't just come. By his Spirit, he stays. He didn't just come 2,000 years ago to a stable in Bethlehem. He came to live among us and to stay with us. If in your unguarded moments you feel a sense somewhat of a void or an uncertainty or an incapacity to make a difference, know that God broke into human history to bring healing and restoration, to form a people, a movement, who have the intimacy of a family, and therefore to invite people to follow him. It's an absolutely free gift. But it's also costly, because once we say yes, we choose to believe and to trust and to keep saying that yes to him. For some of us, that's very familiar. That's what we've been doing for some time. And for some people it isn't, and there's no judgment about that tonight. It's so wonderful that you're here. But the invitation is there for us all. And that's what's contained in this beautiful lyric, sometimes with old English words and things. That's what's contained in all the singing and all the readings you've heard tonight. In a moment, we will sing together one of my favourite carols. And again, when we sing, sometimes we can miss what we're singing. So hear these words tonight. Maybe you want to make them your own. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth, to be born again in him. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. If you've not done so before, or maybe you haven't done it for a long time, tonight may be the night to make these words your own and receive the free gift that Christmas offers. Amen.